Got to imagine the Colts players and their fans, maybe a little dizzy in the head, a little whiplash. One day you got a starting quarterback, the next day it's somebody else, the next day it's somebody else, and now it's somebody else. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So yeah. Just as recently as Monday, Pearl, Shane Steichen had said, no, Joe Flacco is still the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. As of yesterday, that is no longer the case. It's now back to Anthony Richardson. Whoosh,
whiplash. Well, not just that. He's added the details when he made Flacco the start. He's like, don't be fooled. This is for the season.
Right.
And then on top of that, he goes, yesterday he said, Anthony Richardson, this is for the season.
For the season.
Why are we supposed to take him seriously when he says that? Who's the third string guy? Maybe he'll get in.
Does he know how long the season is?
Yeah, I don't know. So apparently Shane Steichen's words mean nothing, which is fine. I mean, that's not the end of the world. I do think the interesting question is, who gives the Colts a better chance to win? Because I saw Joe Flacco kind of blow the game against your Bills on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. He was not good against the Buffalo Bills, and that final score was not even as close as the game seemed, and it seemed like a blowout. The problem is with what Shane Steichen is doing, and just because the Colts may be a smaller market team or whatever, make no mistake, this is an epic disaster for a head coach. You are sending every mixed message possible to your team. Because, Perloff, when you benched Anthony Richardson the first time for Joe Flacco, it was because you thought you were a playoff team.
Right.
Now Joe Flacco didn't play well. So now you're going back to Anthony Richardson. So what are you now? Now you're a developmental team, or now you're a playoff team, or what am I supposed to think if I'm in that locker room? And it's one of the boneheaded messaging and decision-making things we've seen this year in a league that sometimes can be riddled with things like this. But you're right. The idea that they would say Flacco for the season, he has two bad games. Now it's Richardson for the season, even though you know Richardson's more of a developmental product.
And well, I don't think that's really exactly what's going on.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a huge, huge coin flip. What's better, a guy who can actually pass the ball or a guy who's going to run like crazy? Because I think that they think, hey, Anthony Richardson has won a lot of games here because he's fairly conservative. He never completes a pass. That's besides the point. Yeah. Like, you can win where you're just going to run with Anthony Richardson. Like, they tried the open it up Cleveland Browns 2023 style with Flacco. Yeah. That didn't work. So now they're just going to just pound the football and try to win that way. I don't think...
When you say win a lot of games, you mean five. Anthony Richardson is 5-5 in his career as a
Colt. Yeah, but I mean, it's better than Flacco with the Colts. like Anthony Richardson is completely undeveloped and still walks away with a W sometimes because of his ability to run the ball. So I do think, Jonathan Taylor is obviously the star of that offense. He's better when Anthony Richardson's there because the defense has to watch Richardson. So I think that they're like, well, you know what? We're not going to really pass the ball consistently, but we can get some first downs on the ground and win that way. So it's totally a style choice here. And Shane Steichen won that way with Jalen Hurts, a young Jalen Hurts in Philly. So I don't think it was just about developing Richardson. I'll bet you Jim Irsay did call and say, put Richardson back in.
Yeah.
But I think Steichen's like, okay, you know what? We tried the Flacco way. It didn't work. Let's try try this other way where we're only going to throw the ball 20 times a game, but we're going to try and control the ball on the ground. Don't you think that would have been better against Buffalo? Honestly, Richardson would have been better against Buffalo because Flacco kept putting the ball in harm's way.
Prof, you're absolutely right, which is why on Monday we came in and said, why aren't they giving the ball to Anthony Richardson on short yardage downs? I watched Joe Flacco on a 4th-and-1 get sacked with, like, not even a prayer of getting the ball out.
But he also threw a pick on 1st-and-10. Like,
right.
So I would say, like, go conservative. Go with Anthony Richardson.
But Anthony Richardson has also thrown 7 interceptions already this year in 6 games. So
it's a problem.
It's a problem. And, again, this is such backwards, like, coaching, footballing, decision-making, everything. And you've got to be wondering, like, who's in charge here and who's making these decisions? Because here's the other point. Why does it have to be so absolute every time?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, like, coaching messaging 101. Don't back yourself. Don't tie yourself into something. You see how Mike Tomlin went through that whole preseason and season with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
If we went back through those transcripts, he never once ever commits before, like, more than 24 hours out of who's going to be the quarterback, basically, and kept everything up in the air. When Justin Fields eventually was benched for Russell Wilson, it didn't feel like Mike Tomlin looked like a hypocrite. Now it looks like Shane Steichen looks like a hypocrite here because he doesn't know what's going on.
What possible difference? Like, what's the difference when a coach says in a press conference? It means nothing. All that matters is what's on the field.
Well, I think it matters to the players because I do think Flacco versus Richardson, in my opinion, sends two very different messages because Anthony Richardson came into the league as a project.
Right.
We knew that. He had almost no college experience whatsoever, was a 13 starts, almost nothing.
Right.
And it was like, all right, everyone's going to grow with Richardson. It's going to take a little time. You switch to Flacco, you're telling everybody, now this is playoffs. There's no other reason to have a 40-year-old Joe Flacco back there unless you think you make the playoffs. So now you're week 11, and now you're going to say, all right, we're going back to Richardson, and we're just going to roll with the second-year guy, and it's just going to be the bumps and bruises. Like, it doesn't – why does it have to be all of one or all of the other? Why couldn't you have Anthony Richardson for some packages? I'm not saying dual quarterbacks. I'm just saying – well, see where it goes.
That makes no sense either. You're saying the Chris Leak and Tim Tebow in Florida? Like, this is the NFL. You're not playing
50,
two quarterbacks.
50,
No. You have to. I think your read is wrong on this. Okay. I don't think it's like we're waving the white flag. We're putting Anthony Richardson in because I think Flacco was bad. And they're like, all right, Richardson cannot complete a pass. That's true. But what he does do is he runs, and then he'll have a random 70-yard bomb to Alec Pierce. I think they think, and also the Colts, after they get past these next two games, the Colts' schedule gets really easy. Anthony Richardson could probably beat a New England Patriots. Like, it's not going to look pretty, but they are going to they're gonna be a run team first. I think that they think, okay, I think Anthony Richardson might give us a better chance to win than Flacco. So I don't think it's like the team's going to give up because Richardson's in there at all. You're describing a situation where it's like, oh, let's put in the rookie. We know he has no chance, but we have to develop him. Like when Eli Manning came in for Kurt Warner as a rookie in Giants. Like, do you really think that? I really think Anthony Richardson would have been better against the Bills.
Okay, but Anthony Richardson was bad against what led to his benching was a lot of his play. But that's not all that maybe led to the benching. Let's hear from the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, it's Shane Steichen. He said that Anthony Richardson has also grown a lot in the 2 weeks. Guys, this has all been in 2 weeks that he's been benched.
I want to address, you know, Anthony's situation. You know, I've said the process for a long time. And what I mean by that, it's the attention to detail in everything he does, from the classrooms to the walkthroughs to practice to the weight room, all those little things, right? It just got to be at a higher standard. And that's what was talked about. And that's where we went with it. And so that was discussed with him 2 weeks ago. And those were the conversations that took place. And over the last 2 weeks, he's made strides in those areas, big-time strides, becoming a pro's pro. And is he a finished product? No, he's not. And it's my job to help him get there along with the rest of the coaching staff. But he's a hell of a talent. Like I said, we've never lost faith or belief in him and his abilities.
Okay, so we remember what the real, I won't say nail in the coffin, but the thing that led to the coach benching Anthony Richardson, and for a lot of people, I think, was him taking himself out of the game because he said he got tired, right? And that was against the Houston Texans. That was 3 weeks ago. So now you have Shane Steichen telling you there was a maturity aspect to this, right? There was a, hey, you kind of have to get benched for a second because we don't think that you're up to the standard. What do you say? In the weight room? Meetings, like everything.
Classroom.
He's just not doing enough. Here's my question. How much of a change can you really expect in 2 weeks? I mean, maybe this scared Anthony Richardson to a point where, oh my gosh, I might be out of here or I might not ever get a starting job in the NFL again. Maybe he saw like his football quarterback mortality or something, and it's a scared straight sort of thing. But isn't that a lot to ask for someone for a 2 week break? Now you're going to come in this totally different person. I think that's also putting a lot of pressure on a young guy.
I mean, all these things like pressure and all this, honestly, this is Steichen. This is his job. Like, they play the Jets this weekend, right? Like, I do not want to see Anthony Richardson throwing that ball anywhere. Just like hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor, bootleg right. Anthony Richardson, you run. Hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor. I think they said, like, okay, we have these really good receivers. Let's get Flacco in there. That was not working. They're going to kept very, very conservative. And as far as the messaging, like, you're pros in the locker room. Like, this is your job. Like, this is, what the heck have you won in Indy? Like, you better. Nobody on that team is safe. So everybody has to give 100%. Like, they can't be like, oh, well, we're going to Anthony Richardson. This is a quit situation. I really don't see that. Because also, Anthony Richardson is, I'm telling you, he's won three of his last four starts. I mean, one of them, he came out early against Pittsburgh, but he actually looked great in that Pittsburgh game. So they're like, you know what? We could win with this guy. I think he gets more respect. There was a clip after the Vikings game where Kevin O'Connell came up to him and be like, listen, we really appreciate you. You have a lot of fans around this NFL. Like, I think he is a very interesting developmental quarterback, and I don't think it's like a quit situation at all. That they're going, and I don't even think this yo-yo back and forth. I get it. I totally understand. Like, if I was a coach, I wouldn't know who to play, Flacco or Richardson. Is it very clear? Like, there was a lot of reason to go to Flacco, right? You and I both said it. And then there's a lot of reasons to go back to Richardson. Have we been any different than Shane Steichen in our messaging at all?
Well, we didn't say for the season.
Ah, he screwed that out up.
And he said it. He doubled down. You give way too much of a pass for people whose part of their job is to talk into a microphone.
But that is literally the single least important job of a head coach's job. I mean, like, it does not matter.
Okay, they've also lost three in a row.
Right.
So they're not doing great on that front either. Now, granted, that's been three teams they've played that have been above 500 teams. They lost to Houston. They lost to Minnesota. They lost to the Bills. Now they're going to face the Jets this weekend in Detroit. In New York. Then next week it's home for Detroit.
They have the third easiest schedule, according to Warren Sharp, moving forward. So they have a lot of wins on the table. Wins that even Anthony Richardson completing 44% of his passes could come away with. It's going to be a grind, but I think this is a challenge for Steichen. How do I win with this guy? The other thing is, how do you keep him healthy if he runs? So, by the way, you think you've seen the last of Joe Flacco, then you haven't been paying attention.
No.
You and I say that all the time. Like, how many runs, like, can Anthony Richardson lower his shoulder into a guy?
I'm just telling I think you're being super generous on them. It's a tough situation because Richardson is so raw, but that's not new. Steichen didn't just get here. He was there with him last year.
Yeah.
He gets hurt. They have to go to and cobble together a backup situation. Gardner Minshew ends up coming in, and they barely miss the playoffs. They knew exactly what they were getting into coming into the season, which is why they got a high-end backup in Joe Flacco. Turns out Flacco might have found the edge and fallen off of it. But I think that you're giving them too much grace in a situation that both on the field and off feels self-inflicted. You knew that there was going to be bumps in the road with Anthony Richardson.
So
you're either staying with him or you're not. And now to go to Flacco, then 2 weeks later, say we're going back to Richardson,
But what difference? There's no way. Listen, if Brian Flores, the Vikings defensive coordinator, got a hold of Anthony Richardson, he would have tormented him. So that would have been a loss to Minnesota. And Buffalo is one of the best teams in the league. Probably Richardson wouldn't have won that game either. I'm not sure.
There were a lot of people who picked the Colts in that game, by the way, and I think some of them are sitting in the studio.
I didn't pick them. I said that they're undefeated against the spread at home over like the last two seasons. I said off air, I'm like, ooh, they're -4. You know, this is a situation where the Colts have covered a lot. That's all I said. Did I pick them on air?
No, because there were other games to pick.
Well, I just thought that was a dangerous game for Buffalo. If Joe Flacco had not thrown the ball all over the place, honestly, I think Richardson might have been a much better option in that game.
Here you go.
I like the Richardson move. I've seen enough Flacco. He might be terrible against the Jets, but you've seen the Jets play. Like, they can't stop the run. Just pound it at the Jets all game long, because you only need about 21 points to beat Aaron Rodgers right now.
So the Colts are 4-6, right?
Right.
So you've got 7 games left. I think Anthony Richardson is playing for his Colts career right now.
I don't. He's so young, though. He's like... Isn't he second or third youngest quarterback in the league right now?
He was young. He was raw coming in. And you want to know what? The first sign of adversity, it didn't matter. The team went to Flacco. I think that I don't trust the plan. I don't trust that they'll stick to a plan, even if they have it. And I think if Anthony Richardson is not good in these final 8 weeks of the season, 7 games, their bye week is week 14. If he's not good in these final games, I think they're looking elsewhere for a quarterback. I don't trust this organization with Anthony Richardson. They have said one thing and done another. I don't know how committed they are to this guy. And
well, here's the other thing, too. If they lose out, Chris Ballard could be gone. Shane Steichen theoretically could be gone. So it could be a new regime. Irsay seems to be a little bit antsy over there. And trust me, don't forget about that guy's role in all this.
Well, remember, he got kind of sick.
Yeah.
So I think he had taken a bit of a step back.
I think he's around again, isn't he?
I don't know. We haven't seen him tweeting to Jonathan Taylor's agent like last offseason. Remember that debacle? 855-212-4227. Okay, so that's what's going on with one young quarterback, an exciting quarterback, that's for sure. But it looks like he's back in and playing for his career.
You know what an interesting bigger trend is? I'm curious if this holds. So Richardson came in at 21, right? And Caleb Williams came in at 21. They both have been disappointing.
Sure.
And then Jaden Daniels, 23, Bo Nix, like 32. I don't even know how old he is. Yeah. Is there a trend that the guys who stuck around in college are going to be better? Like, you know how we love a trend. It does seem like putting a quarterback into the crucible at 21 is now something the NFL might not want to do.
You know, it's funny because it used to feel like the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Old guys never worked.
Right. If you had a guy who was 23, people kind of assumed, A, you'd hit your ceiling already, and two, why were you so good in college? Oh, you were 22 playing against 18 and 19-year-olds.
Right, and in basketball, it's even worse. If a guy sticks around to his sophomore year, like, well, he's a scrub.
Yeah.
Well, how is he not in the NBA? But it does feel like I think the NFL is watching. All the draft teams are watching Anthony Richardson. Now, luckily for the NFL, Shedeur Sanders is about 37 years old.
Yes.
And Cam Ward is old. A lot of the quarterbacks this year are old. So, but I would think, like, Richardson is a interesting test case because he's so young and so raw, played so little college football. And Shane Steichen's the right guy to fix him because he took Jalen Hurts, who was totally raw, and made him a Pro Bowler.
Then why isn't he better?
It took Hurts a long time. It took him 2.5 seasons.
They made the playoffs Hurts' second year, though.
Yeah, 9-8, but he only had like 15 touchdowns that year. He improved dramatically. So, and also Hurts got older. You know, Richardson's really young. I would urge patience, but I think you're right. I think that they're a little bit erratic right now.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Hurts was a seasoned vet coming into the NFL compared to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
He played in a national championship game, had been to Alabama and Oklahoma. He had a lot more coaching than Anthony Richardson.
What Steichen likes, though, is the play that Anthony Richardson tapped out. Remember that play?
Yep.
The guy is impossible to sack. So, like, your O-line looks a little better stats-wise because Richardson will not go down on any play. It causes all sorts of problems. But this is a mobile quarterback, Maggie. Hi, Mabby.
So, Jets fan over there, EJ. You've given up on the Jets season. I get it. You've surrounded yourself in some kind of Jets-free existence. But now the switch to Richardson. Feeling better about the team winning or worse?
A career Anthony Richardson game is loading against this terrible Jets defense.
Wow.
I would not even think about Anthony Richardson. You ready for Jonathan Taylor against his hometown team?
Oh, he's gonna
going
play,
to town.
He's going to play great too, but I would put decent money that Anthony Richardson has his best game as a pro this week. Because every quarterback that plays the Jets has their best game, except for Bo Nix, and he still won. Bo Nix somehow played his worst game and still beat the Jets. So,
but that was the Robert Saleh Jets, who were 20 times better on defense.
Yeah, you're right about that, too. But ever since we got Jeff Ulbrich as a head coach, Russell Wilson looks great. Kyler Murray looks great. Every time the Jets play somebody, we come back saying, wow, you know, their quarterback's looking pretty good.
Like, yeah, how can we talk about the Colts checking out on Shane Steichen when they're playing a defense that is every single player on that unit is checked out on their coaching staff?
Well, we'll definitely get to the Jets today, too, because Aaron Rodgers had some choice words. When does he not?
So that's my point. I don't want to put the Colts in the hot mess category, and I think you kind of do. Because
definitely.
No way.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
How much do we talk about leadership and culture and all those buzzwords that all of us who actually work normal, regular jobs, like roll our eyes? Like, if you have to talk about your culture, it means it sucks.
Yeah, but
have to talk about your culture, it means it's good. But there's a reason, I think, why you keep talking about leadership and all that stuff when it comes to NFL, because I think it does matter.
But a hot mess is when you have a 40-year-old, five-time MVP and you stink. If you have a 22-year-old kid who played 13 college games and you're average, that's not a hot mess. That's like nobody thought the Colts were going to the Super Bowl. The Jets, that's the definition of a hot mess. I mean, the Colts are basically the 60s Packers compared to this Jets team as far as stability.
Oh, man. They can both be a hot mess. 855-212-4227. We'll get into the Jets varietal coming up. And this is going to be for all of our fans who live West Coast, Pacific Northwest. We love you. We see you. I'm worried for you. I'm worried. We can get all that. We got a huge show today. We're going to throw a little curveball at you guys today, too, around the 8 o'clock hour. I love it. Maggie and Perloff, don't move. So much more to come in moments. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. What's Aaron Rodgers up to today? Glad you asked. Rodgers was asked yesterday about his future. We should remind you, the Jets are 3-7.
Is that right?
3-7. I was right the first time.
3-7.
He was asked about this disappointing season, and has it impacted his thought process for coming back next year?
Has the way this season gone for you or as a team changed that thought at all?
Not really. Not for the negative, no. Not really.
So you still want to play in 2025?
I think so, yeah.
Well, buckle up, Jets fans. You get another year of Aaron Rodgers. High expectations, low output. That's what Aaron Rodgers is up to today.
I think you'll get a much better Aaron Rodgers next year. I keep telling you that the injury has defined everything about his play this year. You could see it. And there's a name a game where he hasn't limped. Have you guys noticed that? Like, that's a big deal.
But Perloff, he's on the wrong side of 40.
Yeah.
The offensive line isn't magically going to get fixed. And he might be limping now for a while.
I don't even know if it's going to get fixed, but he can't move at all.
Right, but 28-year-old Aaron Rodgers is never walking back through the door.
What you'll see next year, if he stays healthy, is going to look like a 28-year-old Rodgers in comparison. Even a 43-year-old Tom Brady moved more than Rodgers. He cannot. He is a sitting duck. And when he does roll out his special sauce, he just throws it out, throws it away because he can't do it. You're going to see a much better Rodgers next year. And by the way, there was no way EJ's dream that he goes to the 50-yard line, retires at the end of the season. Aaron Rodgers is not going out like this. There's no way he's going out in a 5-11 season with the New York Jets, especially because they're 17 games now that I think about it, or a 5-12 season. There's no way in a million years. If you thought he was going to retire, then you've never listened to a word this man has said. In fact, I bet you he sticks around forever.
His words, I mean, this guy is just a walking contradiction on every single possible part of his existence.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, did you hear our pal Boomer Esiason down the hall saying, and Boomer was a former Jets quarterback, he's got a lot of ties still with the building, said Aaron Rodgers came and took the air out of the building. You know, it's like, so congratulations, you get another year being held hostage by Rodgers, big expectations, no delivery. And here's my other part about this Rodgers thing, and we'll talk about how he was being hypocritical talking about the Bears situation and preaching patience with their offensive coordinator, but obviously the Jets fired their head coach 5 games into the season. He saw no problem with that. Aaron Rodgers, by my calculation, spoke to the media for 1 hour and 15 minutes over the last 2 days. Pat McAfee's show was 1 hour, 15 minutes with the media yesterday. Forgive me if I missed this question, but I don't think I did. Can somebody ask him why it looks like he and Devontae Adams have never met before? What happened to the chemistry that these two were going to have instantly? What happened to the hand signals and the telepathy that these two have? They look like they were strangers off the street. Can someone please ask them that? That's what I'd like to
know. I'm going to tell you what would happen if the Jets gave up on him. Like, you understand what happened with Brett Favre. Do you know how good Brett Favre was the day he walked out of that Jets building? I mean, that was his best season of a super Hall of Fame career. And he was amazing with the Vikings. If you let Rodgers go, he will tear up the league next year. So do not do that, Jets fans. Wouldn't that be the worst? There's nothing worse than that to me.
No, I'll paint you a scenario that's worse. Here's a scenario that's worse. And listen, I get it. The Jets don't really deserve the benefit of the doubt when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. But let's say you get to a point where the season is totally off the rails and you're picking top five. And you don't pick a quarterback because you are trying to find a weapon to help Aaron Rodgers at 41 years old. You want to know what this is called? The Giants drafting Saquon Barkley when Eli Manning was done. They missed the entire 2018 draft. Sorry, Bogus and Manny, to be bringing
I'm not
up
listening.
Bad memories here. But you had a 2018 draft that looks actually pretty decent now in hindsight. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, even Baker Mayfield holding his own. Sam Darnold's on a winning team, for goodness sakes. You could make a mistake like that where you're looking at the short term instead of the long term.
Can you imagine Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward in a Jets jersey? That would be a disaster.
That'd be a dream. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. With that O-line, those two quarterbacks, they would get... Those are the worst. Deion's not letting Chidora go to the Jets, so get that out of your mind, first of all. I just think the way Cam Ward holds on to the football, he's got to get rid of that with that O-line because he will be just a turnover machine. I don't think this is a great quarterback class where you know, these guys are kind of flawed prospects, right? This is not Trevor Lawrence these are not sure things by any means. Honestly, you see some mock drafts where it goes Shador, Cam Ward, and Jalen Milroe, and you see other mock drafts where there's not a 10. It's not a surefire class.
All you need is one.
All you need is one, and then it's a 50-50 chance, and knowing the Jets, it's probably 80-20 that it doesn't work.
Yeah, but
maybe 95-97-3.
Yeah, but you don't have a future, really, with Rodgers.
Well, yeah.
So you got to do something.
Well, yeah. I'm telling you, if Rodgers is going to be so much healthier next year, it takes 2 years to recover from that Achilles tear. I think he'll go to Tennessee and throw 37 touchdowns. I really do, and okay. Because I saw it. We saw it with Brett Favre.
855-212-4227. So that's what a little of Aaron Rodgers. That's what he was up to yesterday.
But every mock draft has him taking a left tackle and move. Olofoshana to the right side. Like, they also desperately need O-line. You can make that argument as well. No matter who the quarterback who's incoming, get me some O-line.
I know. To be honest, though, they kind of have invested in that area, and it's still not great. For Shana, you mentioned they brought in Elijah Vera Tucker, they traded up for.
Yeah.
I mean, they did actually invest a little bit. Guys haven't been playing well.
They have two 40-year-olds playing offensive line.
And one playing quarterback.
Yeah,
this is the design, dude.
Yeah, but a 40-year-old quarterback, I can see that. Like, Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith, like, this is not a future offensive line. Obviously, that's a huge priority for them. I would say the number one priority, even more than quarterback. Because you bring Shador there.
Then blame the GM.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm saying draft another tackle next year.
I think the GM's going to be out. I think everyone's gone. And Aaron Rodgers said as much. Everyone's gone if we don't win. And newsflash, they're not winning.
Wait, EJ, real quick. Would you rather have the best left tackle in the draft or Cam Ward as the Jets quarterback next year?
Cam Ward by a million. It's not even close. Like, the people writing on the chat or the video can see my skin crawling thinking about another season of Aaron Rodgers. Like, that cannot happen. That, to me, is the worst scenario. If we're trotting out a 41-year-old guy, going to be 42, saying maybe he could turn the clock back one more time. If we got to go through that again, I don't, like, it's just throwing away another season. This team is not close. I think that's the problem. If the Jets were close to being a winner, maybe I could finagle my way and think, all right, maybe Aaron Rodgers with a better line, he could be a little better. They're not close. So if they're not close, then what are you wasting your time saying, okay, let's Aaron Rodgers on a good season. He wins 9 games?
Like,
this is what the team is. They're not a championship caliber team. They're a fringe playoff team at best, and right now they're not even close to that.
He's going
to
be much better next year. I'm telling you, you're going to see a different player.
This has got to be some kind of long show bet. Meanwhile, we'll get to Andrew Bogish now, who's got headlines for us. Sorry for the sideswipe on the Giants there. It's just the parallels
it's par for the course around
the parallels are hard to ignore.
Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MANDP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
The Sixers and Cavaliers in midseason form in their unique ways. Philly scratching Joel Embiid and Paul George last night in Cleveland because they were playing back-to-backs, while the Cavs keep winning games.
Mitchell on the right side, steps left, three. He hit another one. Donovan Mitchell with three threes here in the fourth. He's got five in the game, 112-104, Cavaliers by 8. Oh, what a close by Donovan Mitchell.
Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Mitchell scoring 11 of his 23 points in the final 3 minutes to down those Sixers, 114-106. Cleveland is the sixth team ever to start 13-0. Head coach Kenny Atkinson.
Knowing how hard, you know, I've been in the league 17 years, you have starts, you have good starts, you have bad starts, but I have a great start like this is unique and something to celebrate.
Their next game is tomorrow night against the Bulls, who got a 124-123 win at the Garden last night. Coby White hitting the winning free throws with 3 seconds left after the Knicks erased a 22-point third quarter hole.
I have a question.
Good job, Josh Hart. Yeah. Way to go. Way to follow three-point guy wide open. Great.
Yeah, that was rough.
I have an analytics question for all you guys.
Sure.
When does load management become a dangerous strategy? Because the Sixers are 2-9 now. They're load managing. Working. Guys are resting. But do they know if you end up with a 14-60 record and you load manage? Like, Joel Embiid will be ready for the playoffs and they'll be the number one pick. Like, when this is weird, right? Like, this is getting unusual, okay, how bad their record is.
It's bad when you can't tell the difference between load management and the process.
Yeah. Like, the process was supposed to be done, and now the guys are here, and I'm not sure what's going on. Like, who are these guys who are lined up?
You understand they're load managing for the 2026 season.
Is that, like, I'm telling you with Aaron Rodgers, just wait for next year. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. They said they want to have him ready for April. They didn't specify.
Yeah, right. They're going to have him ready for April. They're going to be 26 games behind 500. This is just like unusual. Like, all the Sixers fans are like, okay, he's getting a lot of rest. This is good. And they're 2-9.
We kind of glossed over it yet the night before, but yeah. I mean, Joel Embiid looked like a, like, I don't know. He looked like he was going to die on the court in that Knicks game.
Well, also, at this pace, when he only plays once a month, how are you going to play yourself back into game shape?
Yeah. That's a great question. No, it's not looking great. Not looking great for the Sixers. Meanwhile, the Cavs are like, oh, they're the only undefeated team. I mean, that was the easiest win ever. I think the five of us could beat the Sixers right now.
Sign me up, though, for Embiid being the best player in the league in March as they fall short of the play-in. Like, he's surging, looking amazing. The rest worked, but they're 14-60 and they don't make the play.
We call that the mellow.
I actually, as a fan of justice, I would like that. I don't care about the Sixers. Just to see load management implode in the NBA's face is enjoyable.
Giannis scored 59 in the Bucks 127-120 OT win over the Pistons. Wemby hung a career-high 50 on the Wizards in the Spurs 139-130 victory. And LeBron with his third straight triple-double, 35 points, 12 rebounds, 14 assists. He's the oldest ever to do that. The Lakers down the Grizzlies 128-123. They are 6-0 at home. Men's number 3, UConn, hammered LeMoyne last night, 90-49. Alex Caraban scored 17. Marshawn Lattimore still not ready for his Commanders debut. The defensive back is out tonight with a hamstring injury that he brought with him in that trade from New Orleans.
That's a shame.
In Philly is 8:15 Eastern.
Oh, what a bummer. I can't believe Marshawn Lattimore is not going to be out there covering A.J. Brown. That is so sad, Maggie.
I know. I can tell you're broken up by it. I mean, the guy hasn't played. He traded for him, and he hasn't played yet. And I guess you knew that, and it's a short week. But
I was thinking, is it the Thursday aspect of it?
But this is kind of where you needed a pool.
And everyone kind of giggled like Devontae Adams' hamstring went away when it became a Jet.
Right.
Everyone was like, oh, he'll be fine once he's in Washington and he still hasn't played yet.
Yeah, I looked at the injury report this morning. I'm like, oh, no Marshawn Lattimore. That's a really good thing for the Eagles.
And the Eagles is blank, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that game later. 53 guys healthy.
Yeah.
That never happens in the NFL week 10.
It's fishy.
Well, they were lying about the Jalen Hurts ankle thing. Was that last week?
Oh, yeah. Nick Sirianni. Yeah. Amazing. That was on a Friday. I think the show had already ended where they said, he's like, yeah, you know, Jalen Hurts dealing with the ankle. And they're like, sorry, it says rest here on the injury report. He's like, what?
Well, we're talking about something else.
The PR person's like, And then, oh, gosh, imagine being married to that guy. You're just like, this is where I think it's like catching him in a lie. Just like, oh, this is so frustrating.
Some dirty yards out there.
I actually thought of you because Jordan Mailata is coming back, the left tackle for the Eagles, 4 games off.
Thank goodness.
Maggie was so frustrated that the Rams linemen both came back last week and looked like they hadn't played in 3 years, and it just cost the Rams that game. I was like, wait, are we going to Rams line? You know, it is a little rusty, a left tackle coming off 4 weeks. Like, are you sure you want to put him back in? So I think it's a hard call to make because you're bringing a guy off injury. He might stink.
Well, I think his backup has played really well.
Yeah.
So it's not as dire. Like, if he starts playing badly, just take him out. His backup is like probably going to become the highest paid tackle in the league next year.
Yeah, that Rams tackle came up, and the center had about 5 snaps that were over Stafford's head. He was a little rusty.
Yeah, as someone who bet on that game, very upset that they look so crappy.
Meanwhile, the Commanders are 14th kicker. I've been studying the injury report. We forget, like, the NFL is really an injury report game. That's kind of all that matters at the end of the day.
Here's some good news for Maggie, at least. Isaiah Pacheco is back at Chiefs practice this week, but Andy Reid said yesterday they don't expect him to play this weekend, fully returning from that leg injury.
Don't worry. Kareem Hunt's going to be just fine.
That's true.
It's not going to be a big deal.
This is the fastest recovery from a broken leg we've ever seen.
That's what they said. I have him on my fantasy team. This was the timeline all along.
No, it's crazy. It's like 2 months.
Broken leg is good,
though.
Maybe it
was one of those clean
breaks, you know? Yeah, you want the broken leg. You just don't want to tear a tendon.
Yeah, exactly. You want, because especially down there.
EJ, you know.
Yeah,
with your patellar tendon
injury. Broken my leg, I'm back in a week.
Yeah, I mean, it's also... I'm sorry, go ahead. I was saying it's possible he doesn't play for 3 more weeks. They have 3 weeks to put him back on the roster. So it's he might not be that close to being back. He's just good enough to run around a little bit in a penny.
Gotcha.
I would say it's like when a glass breaks in your house. And just like sometimes you get a good break and sometimes you just get a really bad break. Does that happen to anyone else? Or you're just finding shards of glass for like another 2 days.
Yeah, stepping in 3 weeks later, you're like, my foot. That glass from 3 weeks ago.
Do you understand, though, when you have kids, like it becomes like a code red situation if any glass breaks in your home?
I look at it as a fair trade, though, from all the Legos I've stepped on for my kids, that if they take a piece of glass from a cup I broke, we're even.
Even. Like, ow, Daddy. It's like, well, served you right.
Yeah. Oh, stepping on a Lego. The worst.
The worst.
Oh, my God. It's so painful.
I prefer glass.
But I do agree. When you have
that scene in Die Hard?
When you have a glass that breaks and there's just one big piece missing and you get,
it's like, it's right under the fridge.
But then I always get nervous about putting it in the trash because I'm like, well, somebody's going to take the trash out and cut their hand. Hope it's not me. I hope it's Bogus's kids.
I love
screw them.
Eye for an eye, a Lego and a shard of glass.
Yeah.
One's an owie and the other's an affection.
Yeah. Are you a terrible parent?
I'm going to clean it after the cut. I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah, I'll drive him to the ER.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll slow the car down before I kick him out of the front seat.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about like a thing that could like actually injure them. Just like a little thing of glass that gets a little cut. Does a fair trade.
But that's the worst because then it digs into your skin and risks infection.
They're fine. They're 13 and almost 11.
Rub some dirt on it.
So far, so good.
Rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
This is old school parenting. I like it.
You want some hockey here, guys?
Nah.
Okay.
We'll wait.
See you next hour.
Did Ivan score?
He didn't.
Then we don't care.
Damn.
855-212-4227 is the number to get involved in the show. You're welcome to call in. Anthony Richardson is back. Aaron Rodgers apparently will be back next year. But we've got more for you on the big matchups this weekend in the NFL. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. A lot of first place teams going at it this weekend. Yeah, we are a show that plays Phil Collins. That's true.
Yeah, I thought, you know, when you play this song, there's got to be a reason. Is this because of the Tyson fight? Is it because of all the big NFL games? Like, what's coming in the air, Maggie? Like, it's 6:48 Eastern. Like,
the Tyson fight. Yeah. I forgot about his scene in The Hangover. He's like, wait a minute, this is my favorite part.
Oh.
Drums. Yeah.
No, I personally am not watching the Tyson fight. I've decided.
Oh, come on.
Which means I probably will watch it, but I'm still like, you haven't convinced me.
It's not like a character flaw to want to watch a debacle every now and then. Why do you think reality TV exists?
I saw this clip of Mike Tyson running out and boxing, and he looks like he's 32 years old. He looks awesome. I'm like, that is not what we're going to see on Friday night. I don't know how they did that with CGI, that Mike Tyson. Like, I do not understand. It's I'm very, very, very skeptical of this fight.
New reporting on Mike Tyson, by the way. We'll get into that in a minute. Kevin is in Oregon, has a thought. We were talking about, are teams load managing or are they losing on purpose? We can't tell the difference anymore. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Hey, before I talk about that, you guys were talking about Isaiah Pacheco and his fibula. I mean, his lower leg being broken. It was the fibula, which is a non-weight-bearing bone, and it's about a 6 to 8 week recovery time. I mean, the longer they wait, the better. But he could come back right now. I'm a retired surgeon. I wasn't a bone doctor, but I know a little bit about it. Anyway, as far as load management is concerned, I think back to Michael Jordan, Magic. Those guys were so competitive. I can't imagine those guys willingly sitting out a game and without argument. And to look at these guys now, I just don't understand what happened to the players nowadays compared to the guys that, you know, are legends.
You know, Kevin, it's a great point. I think it started, how it started versus how it's going are two very different things. How it started, I don't think, was the players. I think this was front offices. This was team doctors. This was advanced metrics and all that that said, listen, and Kevin's a doctor that just said, the more you rest, the better you're going to play when it matters in the postseason. So I think it originally came from the top down. It wasn't the player saying, oh, screw it, I don't want to play. It was the team saying, we need you freshest and peaking at a certain time. And with some advanced numbers and tests, this is the best way to do it. And now it's just gotten out of control.
Yeah, it seems that way. I understand what you're saying, too. But there's always been the NBA flu. There has been minor load management. Like, towards the end of the season, after the playoff spots are kind of secured, a lot of teams rest their stars. So it's not like this the first time. But the degree to which they're doing it now seems weird. And, yeah, how did Jordan? Jordan didn't seem to me, and, again, I this a lot of nostalgia, didn't seem to me like he wore down that bad.
No, I think that comparing everyone to Jordan or LeBron, though, LeBron who just had this third straight triple-double at the age of 40, like, I think comparing people to those two guys, they just might be the freaks of nature.
But no, I don't remember anyone from the 80s, like, the great scorers being, like, less effective, Alex English or Kelly Jabir. I don't know. I don't remember, like, the wear-down factor or the injury. Felt like guys used to play 70 games. So you would think with this new load management system, there'd be less injuries, and now it feels like there's more injuries. So it's almost working counter to what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple different factors even there. I think the game is so much different now. There's a lot more possession. So whether it's more physical back in the day, sure, but it's just more, it could be a little bit more taxing going up and down the floor.
I don't buy that. And then the second that game thing, used to fly up and down the floor.
But there's just, it's a fact, there's more possessions now.
Well, okay, but in the 80s when like those Piston teams were scoring like 160 points a night, you're right, but you're still on the court. What's the difference? What do you think you're doing?
I just think maybe it's a different type of impact on your body. And then the other part too, and I don't know how much this matters, but it did change from a best of five to a best of seven in the first round. So you are playing, and there's more teams that make the playoffs, and then there's more playoff games. And we know playoff basketball is very different than the regular season. So were guys looking fresher because you had actually literally fewer teams making the playoffs and fewer games being played?
I think you're also having a residual effect of what AAU basketball is doing to these athletes too. Because you're having these guys who are young people. We talk about Chet Holmgren, for example, like young guys coming in and having serious injuries early in their career. Some of these low management things, we're thinking about low management, the guys are just injured. And I think these guys are way more brittle than they used to be.
It's back like starting day, pitchers.
Yeah, like back in the day, like the, you know, we didn't specialize in sports. We didn't have guys playing basketball 12 months a year. You know, they play for the summer months and then maybe during their school year, and then that was it. It's totally different now. I think you're having athletes come into the league as damaged goods.
Yeah, but Chet wouldn't have lasted in the 80s. I mean, he wouldn't even be out there. He's too skinny.
Yeah, but I think this is a player though who's already been through a lot of physical trauma already, right? So like that matters.
But I think he's a unique player because of his body build. He looks like an injury waiting to happen. He's got to put on. Yeah, but reminds me of Sean Bradley.
Yeah, but Joel Embiid does the same way. He came in and he came in the league hurt. Like he literally had a broken foot before he stepped on the court. Like,
yeah, but he didn't come out through AAU.
Well, he played high school basketball in America, and he was playing AAU basketball in America. So, like, it's all from that. I mean, Jabari Parker, there's a million of examples of guys coming in early in their careers having injuries. These guys, I think these players are just not in the same physical condition as the players were back then, too. The thing's a factor in why we're seeing so many guys break down.
Wait, they're not in the same. They should be in better condition, theoretically. Like, sports science is so much more advanced. Wouldn't today's athletes be healthier?
Well, but to EJ's point, like they're just playing so many more games now because of AAU. Like you go on a weekend and you're playing four games in a day.
Yeah.
When back in the day, you'd had basketball season, then you go to baseball season, and then you do whatever. Wrestling.
Then you just go to summer camp. Like sometimes you just don't play sports for a little while. Like it stuff matters. It's not just in basketball too. It's all the major sports.
855-212-4227. All right, this is for our people in the Pacific Northwest, out west. I've got a warning for you. And I hope this warning is heeded and it's taken in, digested. Let's do it.